Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I'm sitting down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to find out more about them and their contributions to the health and the well-being of people here in Bradford. And today we're diving into involvement in the Magnet for Europe programme. It's a significant initiative that's transforming nursing practice and improving the experience for our staff and our patients here at Bradford. This programme focuses on implementing standards of nursing excellence that originated in the United States, and I'm thrilled to be joined by two colleagues who have been at the forefront of this initiative. First, we have Sally Scales, Director of Nursing and Programme Lead for Magnet. Welcome, Sally.
Thank you.
And we also have Amy Hunter, the Lead for Nursing Excellence and Professional Nursing Advocates. Welcome, Amy. So let's kick off then. Sally, Magnet for Europe. Can you start by explaining exactly what the programme is and its main objectives?
Yes, of course. Magnet for Europe is a European-wide four-year research study that has been taking place across six different countries. So that's Germany, Belgium, Norway, Sweden, Ireland and the UK. There's 60 hospitals in total, and we are one of 11 hospital trusts in the UK. And essentially what the research is designed to do is to try to understand how the Magnet model can improve the health and well-being of our nurses and midwives and other clinical staff. Magnet itself is something that's been around for a long time. It goes back to the 1980s and 90s, and it was put together as part of some research that happened to try and understand why they were having lots of problems with recruitment and retention of nurses at the time, but they realised that some organisations were better than others at recruiting and retaining staff. So as a result of the research, they identified common themes, which over the years got developed into a set of standards called Magnet. And the reason they've used the term Magnet is it's because it attracts staff. And the Magnet model itself has five components. So that's transformational leadership, structural empowerment, exemplary professional practice, new knowledge, innovation and improvement, and empirical outcomes. And that model's been running and been established in the US for a long time. So there's a process whereby there's an organisation called the American Nurses Credentialing Centre, and or the ANCC for short, and they assess and award Magnet status to those hospitals who meet the standards. There's about between 500 and 600 hospitals worldwide that have that designation, but the vast majority of them are in the US. It's not really been widespread, and where it has been achieved, it's not necessarily been maintained. So the way that it works is that once accreditation has been awarded, they then have that for 4 years, and then they can apply again to be reaccredited. The basis of the research is to understand if the Magnet standards are implemented in hospitals across Europe, do we see the same benefits?
So this for me is a bit of a blast from the past in actual fact, because I was working in a hospital in Rochdale, mm-hmm. and we embarked upon that very same journey. It was one of the first hospitals in the UK to reach out to the ANCC. And I remember distinctly one of my jobs was to create a visit to Rochdale from our counterparts in the USA. But essentially, this was about how can we improve the standards of care that we deliver to our patients? And in doing that, how can we give our colleagues who have nursing and caring roles a more fulfilling experience of being able to do that and do it in a supported way and feel like that they have a say in the development of nursing and caring and extending it to, like you say, other professions. So I can understand how somebody working in an environment that enabled them to be the best nurse or the best carer they could possibly be would be much more of a fulfilling experience than someone who was stressed, felt that they could never quite be good enough, and always went home from a very busy shift thinking more about what they didn't do as opposed to what they had done. So it's really important, isn't it? Because that's all about how we create roles for our colleagues that make them want to come into work, make them enjoy that experience.
Absolutely. And I think the thing for me about it, it is about there's a real principle around we shouldn't be making decisions at a senior level that influence the care that happens on the ward. And one of the real components of Magnet is this concept of shared governance. And that isn't about, you know, just being top down or just being bottom up. It's about us creating the structure and the culture in the organisation so that when something needs to change or somebody identifies a need for change in a department or a ward, that the right people are involved, the people who are giving the care have the opportunity to get involved.
And they could be the simplest of changes.
Absolutely.
But we all know, if we've been in that scenario, that sometimes the simplest of changes can make the biggest differences, can't they?
They can. And I think what we're trying to encourage is for our nurses and clinical staff and midwives to identify things that they feel need to be changed and to empower them to believe that they can do it rather than them feeling done to. Yeah.
So, Emmy, can you tell us a little bit more about your role then as the lead for nursing excellence and professional nurse advocate? How does all that connect with Magnet for Europe and what is it?
My role really is to support the implementation of the nursing and midwifery strategy, which is framed on shared governance. So before I arrived at the Trust, staff were involved in developing that strategy, but underpinning it are those Magnet standards. So my role with Magnet for Europe, but also in nursing excellence more generally within the organisation, is to support that implementation. And the strategy has six key areas to work on, and a lot of my work is about that staff empowerment, building up and supporting leadership development. And the professional nurse advocates is a role that was developed during COVID and is a national initiative to support nurses to support themselves. And it uses a model of restorative clinical supervision called the A-EQUIP model. Midwives have used that model for a number of years in their supervision. And it supports those nurses who are interested in supporting colleagues to have conversations in a coaching way to help people to identify ways to overcome their issues. So there's a bit of signposting, that kind of thing. So again, although it's sort of a separate role, if you like, it works really well with the nursing excellence work because it's still empowering staff. It's just another route.
So I'm going to get this wrong. The restorative
clinical supervision.
Restorative clinical supervision seems like a mouthful, but I'm going to hazard a guess that this is about more experienced and more senior people wrapping their arms around those more junior colleagues who are experiencing some of the challenges of practicing, possibly for the first time, as they kind of gather their experience over years. I mean, you know, we've all, I'm sure, can identify those pivotal people who were those individuals in our own careers. And it sounds like it's kind of formalising that, is it, maybe, and making it more of an accessible thing to more people?
It is, but it's not just about our more junior colleagues. It allows everybody to have that opportunity. And within the Trust, it is generally more senior, more experienced people. And that's what we want because they have that knowledge and skill. But the PNAs, the professional nurse advocates, are supported to coach people. So it might actually be peer-to-peer or having a conversation with someone more senior than you.
And it's something I know that has been a sort of a statutory requirement in the midwifery profession.
Yes.
For example, for a long time.
Yeah.
So the value of it is well evidenced, isn't it? Well rehearsed.
Absolutely.
That kind of opportunity that you have to talk something through with another.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that we've talked about trying to do it in nursing, but we've never really managed to deliver it. And I think by kind of learning from what the midwives have done, the PNA role is trying to sort of use that learning and use that model. And although there is actually a course that they have to undertake, but actually it's like anything else, it's then how to learn to use those skills going forward. And some of it is doing it in a formal way and having those formal sessions, but actually it's another set of skills that they have in their everyday work as well that, you know, even throughout the course of a shift, it might be helpful if you've got somebody who's a bit stressed to recognise, take them to one side and be able to just do that debrief?
I think that's a really valid point that you made. I remember doing a course on coaching. And what struck me really was coaching can be a leadership style. And so it's not an event. It's not something that you have to diarise that has a value and a place. Of course it does. But if you can apply the skills that you learn to prepare yourself to be able to do that and apply it in everything you do, it's actually about every interaction that you have with a colleague, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to sort of embed the RPNEs within the organisation, understand that it is about those day-to-day interactions with everybody.
Yeah, it's a fantastic leadership skill to have, isn't it? It's really effective.
It really is.
It really powerful. And I'd hazard thinking about my own experiences that the bosses I've learnt the most from and would now call out as my role models are the people who did that. You know, they did it all day, every day.
Yeah. Because the thing about good leadership is you don't hold all the power and all the responsibility yourself. It's about developing that leadership in others, isn't it? And coaching is a really good way to help to develop other individuals.
Okay, so we've got a program. We've got you two guys working really hard to complement each other in achieving those objectives. What are some of the key changes then that have been implemented as a result of that?
One of the things we had to do as part of the research was we had to look at the magnet standards and do a gap analysis against where we are in our organisation. The first thing we identified as a priority was our nursing strategy, or in our case, we decided we would make a nursing and midwifery strategy. We really listened to what our nurses and midwives wanted in terms of not just the content, but also the layout. They didn't want it to be a long, weighty tome. They wanted it to be very clear what the expectations were. We wanted to make sure that it very much fitted with our trust strategy. We wanted to make sure that it fit in with the national picture, really, and local drivers. The other thing that we have done on the back of that, we wanted to make sure that the nursing strategy was underpinned by the magnet standards. So there was that kind of synergy there, so that we knew that it was based on evidence, because we know that magnet is an evidence-based framework. And then within that, we've set out some of the key pieces of work. And the idea of having the strategy is that for all of our nurses and midwives and nursing midwifery teams, from, you know, Karen as our chief nurse, right down to all of our clinical areas, that will guide all of our objectives across the organisation, so that we all know what it is we're trying to achieve. One of the other key areas that we're still working on and is a big change for us is this concept of shared governance. When we started the magnet programme, we revisited all of our nursing and midwifery corporate meetings, and we've established a series of councils, and they are a combination of senior and clinical staff with a very clear remit that is based on the elements that are in the strategy. So that's been quite a big change. And another element of that is to have department councils. And those have been more of a challenge for us. In a way, they support the team leaders and the matron in helping to improve the standards of care. And they do that in a number of ways. So we've supported them with training around QI, for example, and understanding metrics and that sort of thing. That's been more of a challenge for us, because to get that across all of our wards in the pressures that we've been experiencing over the last couple of years is a challenge. And that's one of the things that we're still working on in terms of what is the best method to do that.
So there's been quite a lot of change already. One of the key objectives of entering into any programme like this is to keep doing change and not stop doing change, isn't it? And we all appreciate that change is a fantastic thing, but for lots of reasons, it's not easy to do. And what's been the biggest barriers so far?
The programme is due to start March 2020. And obviously,
we were
busy with other things then. So COVID did delay the actual formal research programme probably until the end of 2020, beginning of 2021. And then we started in a sort of very phased way. So that in itself brought its own challenges, particularly for things like developing the strategy, because pre-COVID, some of the ways that we might have engaged with staff would have been having workshops, face-to-face meetings. And clearly at that point, we weren't able to do that. And so we've had to be quite creative. I think because one of the key principles is about engaging clinical staff, the acuity on the wards and the pressures on the wards, the staffing pressures, is always a challenge. And some of our areas where they've been most challenged, it's trying to get that message across that actually this is about making a difference. And I sometimes use the phrase, build it and they will come. Because we know that even within our own ward areas, those areas have got a good cohesive team where people feel engaged.
Yeah.
We already know that that attracts people, that good leadership. So that's been a challenge to work with those areas where they are struggling at different times for different reasons. But in some ways, it's been more important to engage those areas.
Yeah, yeah. Amy, hospitals, the NHS, professions within them are often criticised for being very hierarchical. And, you know, the whole concept of shared governance sort of turns that very much on its head, doesn't it? It is valuing the contributions of everybody. So that feels like a big cultural shift. Is it? I mean, is it really happening or is it just on paper and in our heads because we want it to be?
It's definitely happening and there's definitely more that we can do. The Trust Councils were set up in June 2022 and whilst we had worked as part of the Magnet for Europe project with our twinning partner to understand how shared governance worked within the US context, we're learning as we go along. So we had an idea of how they would work and what we might need to do, but even now, we're still learning about what people need to feel supported, to come for the very first time, to maintain their engagement. So there's more that we can do to ensure that this is a sustainable change, because what we don't want is to go, yeah, we're going to ask you for your opinions, we want you to get involved, and then for it to drift off. This is really important that it continues as our way of working.
And what about any specific success stories or positive outcomes? Can you think of a good example just to illustrate the impact that this is having?
We've had quite a lot of success, actually. From a shared governance point of view, the fact that we have the unit councils that have sustained and we've worked with them to manage their challenges, I think some of the projects that they've undertaken that have improved staff experience, which then as a consequence improves patient experience, they're real successes. Yep. And actually, that's what we want to encourage and see more of. But we've also done things like had a celebration event to allow our colleagues to celebrate the things that they're doing that are brilliant. So they might not be formally involved in shared governance, but they are on that nursing excellence journey. And it gives other people the chance to learn from them, to celebrate with them. So we set that up last year and it was such a success. We've done it again this year. As part of the Magnet standards, we're expected to have a professional practice model, which is a diagram basically about what good care means to us in this organisation. And rather than it being a hierarchical approach, we went out to staff and we did it as a competition, actually. Mm. We explained to people what a professional practice model was and what it should do, and then let them design it for themselves. So we had a number of entries and then it went back out to clinical staff to vote on. And so the professional practice model we have is the Bradford model of nursing and midwifery care, and that now underpins a lot of the work that we do. We've had a task and finish group, again involving staff, to say, how do we use this? What should it mean? It shouldn't just be a pretty picture. And somebody said, well, I saw this model and I thought, yeah, this is me. And that's absolutely what we want to encourage. It's something that everybody can take hold of because it's theirs. They developed this. They will take it forward.
It's a growth model, isn't it? Really?
Absolutely.
It's about growing.
Yeah.
So anybody, you know, I can think of nothing worse than I've been lucky not to have too many experiences where you're not allowed to grow. There can't be anything worse. More frustrating.
Absolutely.
More demoralising. You know, it's not a place you want to stay very long, is it?
No.
But if you are supported to grow and learn and develop and have opportunities, that's the organisation we want to be.
It absolutely is.
And for as much as you are so busy and your whole work is orientated towards doing that for others, what about you guys then? What about your professional journeys? How has doing this project impacted on you personally and professionally?
So for me, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've been doing this for 4 years, and that coincided with the time when I retired. Throughout my career, I've always been proud to be a nurse, and I've always been passionate about patient care. So to get the opportunity to do this sort of towards the end of my career, it's been a really good experience. And I think the fact that I'm able to do it here in Bradford, where I've worked for a long time, lots of people know me from my previous role. So that made it a lot easier in terms of knowing who to engage and how to engage.
And Amy, you personally have got a really strong background in leadership and education. How's your involvement in Magnet for Europe enhanced your professional development?
I think this has been a really fantastic opportunity for me. To be involved in that project was something that was incredibly exciting, and I've learned a lot about what nursing and midwifery excellence really means and the evidence that underpins that. But also I've been mentored brilliantly. Working with the people that I work with Sally and the chief nurse team, I've learned so much. It's been a real development opportunity, and one that I've been really grateful to have.
And where might that end then? Where do you see yourself? It's not a job interview, by the way, but...
Do you know, I don't know. What I know is things that make me happy are supporting our workforce to give the best possible care. And so I'm just happy to be on a journey at the minute, and I don't know where that's going to take me.
Mm. It's a bit of a heads up moment, isn't it? And it's as much one of those for you as it is for a more junior member of our team who finds themselves on a council, sat next to perhaps the most senior member of the team.
Absolutely.
Having their opinions and their views and their contributions listened to and valued. It's that kind of, right, when I say a heads up moment, everybody is so busy. Sally, you're right. Yes. You know, we're a very busy place. We've got a lot of patients, a lot of sick people who really need a lot of care. And the people that this programme is all about, that's their job. And they take it very seriously. They're very passionate about it, and they're very good at doing it, and we're all incredibly proud of them. But every now and again, just a heads up to sort of say, sure, there is another world out there, is a huge development opportunity. So I'd really, you know, that's how I've carved out my career over the years. It's putting your hand up and volunteering to do the things that you never thought you would, really, and to step into the spaces that aren't comfortable and flex your muscles a bit.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
I would really agree with that. And I think for me, in leading this, we get out into our clinical areas as much as we can, so people see you as a person, and they don't then come into a meeting and think, oh, I don't speak, because they've met me. And, you know, they know that I'm approachable, and they know that can say what they think. And actually, there's something about ensuring that we continue to do that, to give people that opportunity. And we have got some really passionate individuals who have been part of this. And I think what we'd like to do is reach out to more.
Sally, on that then, if people are listening to this and thinking, well, I don't know enough about this, or I don't know anything about it, how can colleagues and the wider community get involved in supporting the programme and supporting ultimately the delivery of our fantastic strategy for nursing and midwifery?
So we're very happy for people to get in touch with either myself or Amy on email. It's the BTHFT email. We have information on the intranet. We have information on our website. So again, they've got the contact details on there. And we're happy to, you know, come and talk to people either in groups or individually and just give them a bit of the background and what is available, what opportunities are there. That offer is there, and we're very, you know, happy to be approached.
And it's worth saying as well that we provide talk sessions on the band development days for nurses and midwives. So that's a chance for people to get involved. And as part of those development days, they're starting to think about some of the things that we're interested in. And that's a way that we can then help and move in to support them through the education offer.
Great. Thank you, Amy and Sally, for sharing your insights and experiences with us today. It's inspiring to hear about the positive changes that you are implementing. And if you want to learn more about this initiative and our ongoing efforts to enhance nursing excellence across Bradford Teaching Hospitals, please visit our website and search for Magnet for Europe.